teaching and the topic that we are giving to it, it is easy for you to understand the direction that we are moving. It's stewardship of realities. The motivation is that we understand that God has ever been making investments. But when we put eye on the ground to try to check the return in investment, we have found out that we have loss. Have you not found out? The investment God has made in your life, just check in the last 5 years, is loss. Is loss. We are lost. The return in investment is loss. I need to understand that the context and the nature, the fundamental nature of God's investment is realities. We'll yet get there. So there are two things you check in this topic. One is stewardship, and the other one is realities. It's a burden. It's a burden. It's a burden to God, and then it became a burden to us. It's a burden to us. There is nothing that moves the heart of Jesus than investing and coming to that place, and he's not seeing a return in investment. There are a few times that Jesus opened his mouth and cursed something. It was because there was no return in investment. Have you read the scriptures? He said he made a fig tree. The fig tree was full of green leaves. He said he went there to find a fruit there. There was no fruit. For the first time, Jesus cursed that tree. Because it's obvious that the investment was a waste. Have you heard another parable that the man had a vine and the trees there refused to bear anything? He wanted to cut everything down. The owner of the steward, are you with me? Because you get to know what is stewardship. When you hear stewardship, that means there is an owner and there is a supervisor. Are you with me? So that supervisor is who is the steward. So we'll get into the details soon. So the man now said, let's not give up on you. Let's not give up on you. Let's dig a well around you. Eh? Pour manure. Then after we have poured manure, then we pour some things that can enable your growth. It seems as if the environment that you found yourself before was not good enough to allow a very stable and consistent growth. So they did it. Only to find out that yet we did not have return in investment. That was why when John came preaching, he said that the axe is laid down upon trees. It's a warning I'm bringing. The reason I'm teaching this is a warning. Because after teachings like this, then judgment will follow. The judgment is not last day judgment. The judgment is a judgment of how much you have brought return on investment. And for some of you, the investment that God has made in your life is so much. It's so much that you will receive more judgment. To him whom much is given, much more is expected. Jesus came to certain cities, and the amount of miracles he did was stupendous. And his expectation is that people seeing these signs and wonders will turn to God and then serve him with all their heart. These are the men that cursed him. Some of them sent him out of their cities. He said, "Woe to you, Tyre and Sidon." That is the testimony of the terrain, the church in general. This thing is beyond us here. It's our testimony. Do you know how much God has invested in the Nigerian church in the past 30 years? There are no stewards. What it will take to deliver on this revival has been invested, my brother. Whether it's the finance, whether it's the power, whether it's the glory, whatever it is, it has been invested. But return in investment. That means there is a challenge. There is a challenge, and the challenge is not the investment. And the challenge is not the investor. The challenge is the steward. There is a challenge in stewardship. And once God waits for the steward over time, and you have not been able to deliver, what will he do? John is a revivalist. And when the revivalist comes, he doesn't say what you want. He says what heaven is saying. He said that the axe is on trees. He said that they will cut them. They will burn many with unquenchable fire. Is you that think Jesus is only good? No. He said that there is one coming after me, and his dimension of judgment is even higher than my own. He said he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is not the fire you feel in your body. It's the fire of judgment. Because the scripture says that he purges his garners. So that the chaff will go. By the time we are through, we'll find out that many things we channeled our emphasis on is not bringing God any fruit. It's not bringing God any return in investment. In the body of Christ, where we are, God has made people billionaires, and suddenly their eye opened. God has blessed many denominations, and they use it and built many things, many places. Something that nobody is inside now. There is corona now. That is to show you that we are not good stewards. We are not good stewards. I say the money the church has, we don't need extra money. That's what I'm saying. Let's even talk about money. We don't need extra. The one we have is more than enough to deliver. I tell you the truth. Their pastors, their anger in this corona is because tithe has reduced and the income has reduced. God is not happy. He is not happy because he knew how much he invested. Is he power? Talk about power. Do you know how many people get healed in Nigeria in 1 week? Let's use Nigeria. To the point that people now know that they will come and receive miracle and go. You think God just does miracle? Have you? That's why when I see young people, I see people, they post testimonies and all that. What are you trying to achieve by that thing you are doing? I know it's a good thing, but what are you trying to achieve? You are just attracting more businessmen. The glory have left the church. It's a cupboard that we are seeing. We are trusting God that judgment will come. Because before every revival, judgment must come. And it so happens that it will start in the church. That is the testimony of the gospel of the revivalist. Because they must purge you so that it is when God judges you and found nothing in you, then he can stand and then judge the world. Do you know how much investment God has made in you? How long have you spoken in tongues? You have spoken... Some people have spoken in tongues for 10 years, nothing to show. Oh, you think speaking in tongues is a small matter? How long have you had the Holy Ghost? You have the Bible for how long now? How many messages have you listened to? We have heard people, they will tell you they have listened to this man of God. They will list them. It's like 10 of the major men of God. We look at their life. There is no return in investment. They are not stewards. Spiritual realities have been trafficked in their realm, yet they lack the capacity to bring the return in investment. So God said, the axe is laid down on the tree. How good are you in your stewardship? That's the question. Is a burden in my heart. Is a burden. Even if there are no specifics that we finally bring across to you, do you know the cost of the blood that Jesus shed? Do you know the cost of that blood? Do you know? Do you know the worth of the Holy Spirit? Do you know the worth of the blood? Do you know the worth of the cross? Do you know the worth of the name? These are all the things that
the investment that God made on the church,
and we are looking like this. There is little or no return in investment.
If we take scorecard, the best of us might not be getting 20%.
We have overestimated ourselves.
If we come to meetings and somebody fall under power, we start clapping. If one cancer left, we celebrate it everywhere. In the old covenant, there is a man called Moses. The scripture says that the Lord bore the Israelites on the eagle's wings. I searched deeper and I found out that that eagle's wings was actually Moses. I tell you.
And the scripture spoke concerning the Rapha dimension of God. He said for 40 years none of them was sick. By what mystery?
You are celebrating one or two healing. The investment in the old covenant was able to keep men for 40 years without any sickness. Now we have the blood, we have the covenant.
We are not good stewards, because this new covenant is established on better promises.
So if it's better promises, then it should be better results. You don't know how much God is expecting from you. You are clapping for yourself for doing nothing.
And mind you, it is not as if you are not doing, you don't know how to shepherd those realities. Some of them, you encounter them day to day in the engagement in the world, in the engagement in prayer, impartations, things. You don't know how to shepherd them.
I have found out that the greatest secret in delivering in God's agenda is not so much of what God gave. It's how much you use the one he gave. That is why in stewardship, the first demand is faithfulness. It is not quantity. It's not quantity, it's faithfulness. Because everything God can bring around you is like a mustard seed. Say mustard seed. Mustard seed. The capacity cannot be measured. Is it not in the kingdom? No matter how small what God gave you is, you cannot measure what he can achieve. If you know how to steward,
I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace for one purpose, that I may live your days. I want to see you.
Don't lose eye on the purpose and the target.
Lord, I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace, so I can live your days. I want to see you.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. The scripture said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he said that he ascended on high, and then from there he gave the gifts of men for a purpose. He said for the equipping of the saint, for the maturing. You see, there is what we call the fullness of the stature of Christ. There is already an image that is set before us. And the very purpose of all of our engagement is so that we will be conformed to that image. Are you with me? See, and the job is beyond individuals. Because as I told you people, the church is like the heavenly man on earth. See, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was telling us about the heavenly man. The heavenly man, Jesus. Have you heard the scripture that said, as he is in heaven, so are we. Not so are you. You know, some people don't understand how to interpret scriptures. that concept is not personalized, it's not individuals. As Jesus is in heaven, so are we. Who are the we? The body of Christ. So there is a rainbow of his glory that one man can never be able to see and behold. So it is together that we behold it. It so happens that there is a confirmation that needs to take place, and that is why God has made all the investment that he has made with a target. What is that target? That we get to the fullness of the stature of Christ, conformed to the image of the Son, the one that God intended that through him he will deliver on all his agenda from time to eternity, is the Son. And the corporate dimension of that Son is what we now call the body of Christ. Meanwhile, God is limited to the extent in delivering of that is his agenda, to the extent that that body is now conformed to the Son. Are you now seeing the challenge? So he has been making investment, the prince, with the hope. It's because of that that he subjected creature to bondage, with the hope. Even the Holy Ghost groaneth with us, with the hope. Say likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. There is a hope that God has. What's that hope? We will get to that in the book of Colossians. You have been saying it now. Christ in me. What is the purpose of the Christ in me? There is a glory that God expects. That is what we call the inheritance of God amongst the saints. You need to know that God has inheritance, but his inheritance is amongst the saints. And what he expects among the saints is glory. So he made an investment. He made an investment called Christ. When men deal with that investment well enough, then glory will come out. He said he has made a promise to the Son. He said, a glorious church with spot or wrinkle. God can't have less than that. If God said it, he will have it. Let's get ready. Let's stop wasting time, wasting investment. If God said that I will have a glorious church, the promise that the Son gave the Father gave the Son, that thing he will have it. He will have it. He will have his glory. He will have his glory in his body. There is no other way. And that is why he's making investment. It so happens that with those humongous investment that he has made, we can list them, his battalion. Both in general context and in specific context in your life, the return in investment is little. You see, we are not even aware what God invested on. In Jesus' name. You see, stewardship is simply, you can write, it's simply the system of management and administration of resources set up by an owner of an enterprise, a system of management and administration of resources set up by an owner of an enterprise to the end that a predetermined purpose can be achieved. There are key words in this definition. One of them is system. Another one is management. Another one is administration. Another one is resources. Another one is an owner. You see, the owner is different from the steward. I have said it. So, and that owner is an owner of an enterprise. To the end that a predetermined purpose can be achieved. Are you with me now? So, when an owner sets up an enterprise, he has a purpose for it. It is that purpose that determines everything that happens. So when God makes an investment, you don't have the right to determine what should be done with the investment of God. Are you with me? He is the one that have the capacity. He is the one that have what it takes to determine what this thing should bring forth for him. So he said, Christ in you is what? I don't know what Christ in you has been able to bear, but what the one that invested is looking for is what? Stewardship is simply the system of management and administration of resources set up by an owner of an enterprise to the end that a predetermined purpose can be achieved. You see, I've said this often many times. Fundamentally, the economy of God. What is the economy of God? Let me even ask. What is the economy of God? Who can answer me? The economy of God. Okay. Find mic for him.
My understanding.
Yes.
Every God has chosen to dispense himself.
You are correct. Don't add. Don't add. The economy of God is how God has chosen to dispense himself. It so happens that God doesn't have anything to give but himself. Yes. Everything that God gave was himself in one dimension, in one way or another. It was himself. So it so happens that fundamentally the economy of God is captured in Christ. So the economy of God is first of all Christ. One, in Christ. Two, and by Christ. Three. What did I say? The economy of God is where? Is Christ. It's not just that he's in Christ. The economy of God is what? Christ. Christ is the way that God has proposed to dispense himself. The only way you can touch God is by Christ. That is the molecules of God. This my mother is looking at me. That is the only way. The scripture describes him many times. It says that he is the invisible God and many things that were spoken about him. When Christ came, he gave body, shape, dimensions, classifications to that invisible one that we have not seen or heard from before. So that anytime you touch Christ, it's God that you touched. So Christ is the God in a shape and mode that men can relate with. So God needed to dispense himself. So the way he did it was Christ. So God said, I want to pour myself in you. What does he do? He pours Christ. Now another thing is that he's in Christ. The reason why in Christ is also an aspect of his economy is because of the fall. And then by Christ. The reason why it is by Christ is also because there is an experiential dimension of all these things that we are talking about. Are you with me? So when you receive strengthening in inside, when you are able to do anything for God, you did it by who? By Christ. This is the experiential dimension. That is not where I'm going. I'm trying to tell you that the fundamental context of the economy of God is Christ, in Christ, by Christ. Now, if it is true, then the resources and investment that God made in his fundamental context is what? Christ. Christ is the investment that God made. In fact, Christ is the investment that God intended to make. In fact, Christ is. That is why if you go through the scriptures, the whole scriptures is talking about the Christ and his kingdom. The Christ and his what? Kingdom.
to are you following me now? So God now made an investment called Christ. Remember that there is an owner of an enterprise. You are a magician, oh. There are many magicians in our midst. Hi. So what God did was to invest Christ in you. Are you with me? Now, beyond the fact that God invested Christ in you as an individual, God also invested Christ in us as a corporate entity. I've said it all the time that the measure to which you are able to participate in the body of Christ is the measure to which Christ has been formed in you. Have I not said it before? So there are some people that are born again, their participation in the body of Christ is zero. Do you know why? Christ has never been, they have never even touched the formation of Christ. All they did was say the sinner's prayer. So the more Christ is formed in a man, the more he has the ability, capacity to participate in the body of Christ, because the original makeup of the body is Christ. So the only thing that is recognized from you as a participant of that body is that makeup of you that is what? Christ. Because the body is Christ. So what the body recognizes is the Christ in you, the one that has been formed in you. So what does it tell you, Seth? What does it tell you if 1 million people gather here? Aaron, what does it tell you? It tells you now it is, you will now see how weak the body of Christ is. Because very few believers have gotten to an extent where Christ is even formed 20% of the way. They are still struggling with basic things. They have not left the elemental things. How long? How long are we going to stay here? No, Christ be formed in you. Be formed in you. Actually, that is what is revival. When revival has fully gotten his purpose, fully accomplished his purpose, it is when Christ has been fully formed in men. Paul was speaking that I will be found in him, not having my own righteousness. By then you are dead to everything. When they look at you, they cut you open like this, the only thing they will see is Christ. He has been formed in his shapes and dimensions to every aspect of your soul. Jesus carried the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and there was no leakage. And he said he's a pattern man for us. Anytime I hear that thing, I'm burdened. You notice I use it a lot. It's a burden to me. Everything he had to prosecute those things you have. In fact, you have much more. I don't want to go there. You have much more. Because if he made mistake and sin, are you with me? You're not with me. If he made mistake and sinned, the whole process would have been truncated. But if you sin, nothing has happened now. No, nothing. If you sin, withdraw from the blood. Are you with me now? But if he sinned, the process is truncated. In fact, many of you have seen many times before you now started finding your feet. But the scripture said, in him was found no sin. We have a covenant established on better promises. And the investment that God made in us is the investment of himself, really. And the expectation that he has in us, he has of us, is the glory. But it so happens that we are far from it. And the challenge is that we have a challenge with stewardship. stewardship, stewardship. Let's even leave Christ. Do you know the heavy men like our fathers? Should I tell you? Some of these revivalists you hear about, some of them didn't speak in tongues. I tell you, yes. So their prayer is, you have some of you, so there is something that Peter Tan wrote about prayer. He said that when a man prays in understanding, comparing it to when a man prays in tongues, is like somebody driving a bicycle and then somebody moving with a modern sports car. Eh? That's the comparison. Prayer in understanding and prayer in tongues. So these men are driving bicycle, yet they go to the destination. You are on fast car. You have not gotten to anywhere fast. You should be crying. That's what you should be weeping. You should mourn, my friends. It's a burden. Speaking in tongues now is for enjoyment. Let's speak in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes. For 20 minutes, we spoke in the Holy Ghost for 2 hours. That is why people are doubting your tongues. You have not noticed. They will tell you every day you are going to pray for 2 hours, because there is no return in investment. If there is return in investment, no, men won't doubt the investment. Why are we doing this thing? See, men are doubting the investment of God. What of God Himself? That you have gone to no prayer meetings. You have read the Bible back to back. You have listened to all the big men of God and nothing yet. Not just one small thing is produced in your life. And some of them, they are clapping for them. They are men of God. That's because you can share one realm or the other. Go and sit down. We need to carry you. We need to ferry you to the mortal realm. And then you see the expectation of God based on the investment that He has made in your life according to this season. And you see how far you are. That's why some of us cry. We are burdened. Yes, that is why when Creator realized this, in the book of Romans chapter 8, He said that we groan because we are burdened with the realization of how far we are from the expectation of God based on the investment that He has made. Don't you have the Holy Ghost? This body is killing me. I'm telling you. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. That is an expectation of God. I will just read it. Verse 27 said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of His glory, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there is an expectation that God has. That is what I'm saying. Every investor has an expectation. Imagine where, let me speak your language. Imagine where you invested 1 million. Eh? You invested it and then you told somebody to look after this business for me, oversee it. And then he came 1 month after and started telling you how he shot a bird and the mother flew away. If it's people like me, I would say, I don't understand what you're saying. You will continue talking. I say, I don't understand you, because the understanding is not about talking. Is about flowing at the same frequency with the person. That is why sometimes some people say what we say is hard. It's actually very simple. It is simply because you are not flowing at our frequency. Once you flow, the whole thing will flow into your spirit. I say I invested 1 million, and after 1 month, you have 10,000. What would you do, Doc? First of all, you shut down the business and then ask the person, explain to me where my 1 million went.
the person will tell you, let me explain. Believers are doing what? So I'm using your language so that you understand what is stewardship. Believers will tell you that it's more like, I now, like somebody that wanted his wife to be doing, let me use that one, it's common around this area. The husband will be doing, and then he open one provision store for the wife and stock the thing with 3 million naira goods. And then he came 2 months later and looked at the shop. The thing is empty. He's not seen such it as. And he now asked the wife, what happened? Just like many believers, he start crying. I left the door open in the night and thieves came and collected the goods. First thing we tell the wife is close. First, say close. There are some people that have, that God has invested so much in their life, and they have wasted it. And one of the cry that is the word from heaven is close that thing you are calling ministry. Go and learn how to shepherd realities first, because you will never be able to deliver on God's agenda the way you are moving. Every investment, some people will be looking for a pastor to do them. It's not impartation you need. They say they need fresh grace, fresh fire. That is not what you need. What you need is to shepherd the one you have. Thieves are collecting it. The door of your house is open. You come for 24 hours and peace come on you. They said, some of them, they said that the healing anointing fell on you. You didn't do anything about it. You waited for another 24 hours and they did another impartation for you. You waited for another 48 hours. You waited for another 1,000 hours. You have not done anything. You are a foolish and careless person. Shepherd the one you have. The great men, you know, there is nothing special. It's the same thing. They shepherded it. They are stewards. Small things that God handed over to them blows up, because the reality of the kingdom is that anything you planted, if you plant it, is it not in the kingdom you planted it? The results that we get from the smallest thing you planted in the kingdom cannot be measured. So God can invest 1,000 mega amps of prayer power for you. 1,000 mega amps of prayer power. When God invests that in you, He is expecting return. And then you wake up in the night and say, I'm tired. God will say, if we invested this thing on the people that can't pray in tongues, what would they have achieved for us? God intended you to take advantage of that power and generate power that can run your family, run the whole territory. It's mega arms of spiritual energy. When you pray like this, the earth will begin to shake. But because of lack of consistency, you are not able to steward the reality. You lost it. After 6 months, you say you are struggling with your prayer life. You are a foolish person. How can somebody that is able to pray 4 hours every day and do it for 3 months suddenly be struggling with 30 minutes? Something is wrong. Do you know what is wrong? They don't know how to shepherd realities. Mega arms of prayer power. When you incubate it, your heart will enlarge. You will be like Elijah. The man will stand and say, before the Lord God, whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain. It was James that explained to us the secret of Elijah. He said, Elijah is a man of like passions, but he prayed earnestly. His job is prayer. When he finishes praying, he'll come and say, no rain, no dew. You don't know his secret, his prayer. That man can hold, he can determine the destiny of the constellation and the stars from his prayer altar. God needs such men, oh, because I was praying yesterday night and I was carried up in the spirit and I saw men that will arise, and the stars and the moon and the sun and the elements will begin to respond to their prayer altar. They will have a voice in the heaven. You need to suffer that thing. You don't know the power. You don't know what God can achieve by that. The destiny, the deliverance of your family is encoded in that prayer power. 1,000 mega arms of prayer power that was invested in you. God knew that when you deal well with that, the deliverance of our generation is installed in that engagement. You tribalized it. You didn't know. Simply because you are not consistent. Simply because of that useless girlfriend that used to call you by 8 p.m. You are doing brother and sister. It's not brother and sister. It's girlfriend you are doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can come and tell me and say it's your job, it's my work, it's not allowing me. So one nonsense, 50,000, 70, 100,000 that are paying you is robbing you of your throne. You come and tell God, it's my job, oh. They are not aware. In that place, they are not aware. That job that has kept you away from your throne, they are not aware. The only thing they are aware of in that place is the purpose that they have kept for you and the investment they have given you to achieve it. Any other thing you are saying is not in this cross. You are just telling story. They will ask you, Adam, where are you? What have you been doing? You have left tending the garden and guarding it, and then left it for the serpent. The enemy is the one that is now doing the work. It still was of realities. Some people, God invested the prophetic grace in them to the intent that they will bring sight and guidance to the body of Christ. But greed didn't allow them. They started prophesying from their belly. They are prophesying from their belly. Some of them are not even aware they are prophesying from their belly. Some people, God invested finances in them. As the money is coming in your hand, you now realize that, forgive me, that there is a new Brazilian hair. The one that shines like this. When you do it like this, the man will finally fall. That man, that man that have refused to pay attention to you, you have not bought the new Brazilian hair. It's 300,000. Some of them 500. When you buy it, you put it, you do your hand like this, the man will fall on the ground. And you need to change a new one every month. Another new month, you change another one. Meanwhile, that is the resources that you would have used to bring youths like this and pay their school fees. How much is school fees? 25,000. When you now pay the school fees, I want to ask you, somebody who paid the school fees for, and you say, I want to preach the gospel, even if he doesn't want to listen, for his school fees sake, he will listen. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost and send them as emissaries. There are people that need just 20,000 to preach the gospel in the villages, and you are busy buying new things. As you have three phones now, what is he doing for you except to waste your time in social media? For the kingdom we are born, for the kingdom we die. The investment of God will not die in our hands. It's a vow we make. So help us God. So help us God. When God invested in us, he is expecting something. And my desire is to use so much to him that when he remembers that Shedu is around, he will know there is true hope in our generation. I want to be that man. I want to be that man that 1 ounce of God's investment will yield the greatest of revenue for him. Let heaven speak about me. Let them speak about me. But we have a soul. Listen to me. When I was doing youth service, you have heard the story. We prayed, an angel stood between heaven and earth and carried a pot of fire. Are you with me? And broke it in our midst. That is a spiritual investment. It is realities that was released amongst us. Many years later, we are just few that we are able to trap those realities and dimensions. It has always been the story. We are the rest. It is the same thing. The same gospel that was preached to you is preached to others. The same encounter all of us had. Experience the spirit of revival and prayer. But finally, it's a few amongst us that were. Because these men lack the capacity. They don't know how to suffer realities. As soon as they came out, they gave them one job. Sometimes when you finish your service, use 1 year, 2 years, settle your life. Stop hustling to come out of campus. As you are leaving campus, what is now happening? What have you been able to do? Let's not be careless. I want to graduate. Haven't you asked people that have graduated? What are they doing? Jesus, the burden in my heart is not even allowing me to teach. The burden in my heart is not allowing me to teach. Some of the fathers we install is just one revelation they caught and use it and turn their word upside down. Now your jotter is filled with revelation. One of them has not been able to change your life. Talk more of your neighbor. All spiritual ego's word read was the Bible. All he read was the Bible. He became a Colossus. A witness in the spirit. What are we doing with the investment of God? The revelations that God bring across to you, you now use it to shine. You don't know that when revelations come, the purpose, the fundamental purpose of revelation is to be worked inside of you, so that after some seasons, you will become a living epistle. People will look at you and see that the very thing you speak, you live it. Many times you speak, they don't understand what you are saying, but they look at you and they see it manifest. Sometimes I talk, people don't understand me, but when they look at my eyes, they catch the body I have. That is how God works. Because the very things I'm saying, it has bothered my heart. My soul is configured without burden and revelation. When I speak, your spirit responds. Because it's what I'm carrying inside of me. My heart beats upon it. It has become the motor, the thing that burdens my heart day by day. So I'm not speaking to impress you. I'm speaking to bring you to the present revelational emphasis of the Holy Ghost. The things that he demands of us. I'm joining in it. I'm just trying to inform you in case you want to join me. In case you want to join in the train. Okay? Because it's a fast lane in the spirit. And men who are caught the revelation, they run with it.
In Jesus' name, let me drop one thing on them. We will not be a perverse generation. We will not be a perverse generation. We will not. How long have you spoken tongues? 5 years. More than 5 years. Let's clap for him. He has spoken in tongues for 5 years. Clap for him. How long have you been born again? Huh? Just 3 years. They say you have been preaching since you were small. You are doing religion. How long have you been born again? 2 years. I need veterans. Veterans in the business. People that pride in the fact that they have been in this thing for 5 years, 10 years. That has been your Waterloo. In fact, that was the enemy of your progress finally. Imagine your child that is 15 years and is still in primary school. He is 20 years, is in primary school. There are some people like that. You bring them out and say, go and learn handwork. They will go there, they can't learn anything. He will go and spoil a machine that the person bought for 2 million. The person will say, come and carry your child. These are people that don't know how to steward realities. When that fire fell from heaven, when we were doing your service, I started incubating my own. Incubating it. It was small. There were people that shouted, all kinds of things happened, but me self. There is nothing too expressive that happened to me. But my heart burned. Kai. See, every man that is a giant was simply a man that encountered reality in God and was able to shepherd and steward it. You cannot imagine what it will be, but you can't imagine the profit we can get from that thing. You can't imagine the profit we can get from one scripture that you are consistent in incubating for 1 year. You clap for yourself that I've read the Bible. I did a study of the whole book of Matthew and then I got a good scope of it and we have read the Bible. So we should clap for you. One phrase in the scripture can change our world. If a man can incubate the reality in it, all John Tillich had was just a scripture, a verse in the scripture. Acts 10 verse 38. You see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You say what? So he's Satan that oppressed people. I thought it's a hereditary something. I thought it's what? I thought you'll be moving on the road. And then, no. Corona is originally a demon, my friend. I don't care if they synthesize it in the lab. It's a demon. So when the eyes of that man open, that is how the greatest healing ministry that has ever touched this earth came. Every other man that had healing ministry patterned it after that man. All the healing schools and healing services we have is as a result of that man. Because all evangelists would do is to come to a crusade and then count 10 or 15 people that were healed. The rest goes. John Dille carries the reject. The one people can't deal with, he carries them and pack them inside the house. And say, give me only 2 weeks. Make sure you do what I tell you. He will give them rations and dosages of the word of God. After 2 weeks, there is somebody that came. He's the fat in his body because of abscesses. One kind of growth was so large
John took his hand and touched it like this. The imprint of his hand went into his skin and burned like fire. By tomorrow, the whole thing dried up. One scripture. Say one scripture. How many Bible you have? You have read everything in the Bible. How many have you shepherded the reality that is thereof? I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace. That I may live your days. I want to see you. The investment that God makes in our midst is tremendous. He expects so much from us. 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 That our eyes be open. And then we see the purpose that God has ordained. And because of his purpose, he began to make investment. He endued you with grace. He endued you with power, with wisdom. And because our eyes is not open to his purposes, you trivialize the matter. You are not careful. You are not a good accountant. You left many things to chance. Some people just went and fornicated small. He said, you want to fornicate small. It is that small fornication that robbed you of something that is of eternal value. And then the kingdom is now left bereft of what would have protected them in the day of danger. It is my own belief and conviction that the challenges in this world is here because men that God gave realities to succor us in seasons like this joke with it. Then when the seasons come, we became prey to something that we could have easily solved. Men that don't know how to suffer and still want realities. So when seasons of trouble comes, we will seek men, we will seek shelter to run into. But there are no men to shelter us. If only we have a few Elijahs in our generation. Men that can stand. And then the prophets of Baal, the 400 of them will stand. And one man will stand for God. And because of him, the totals of God will not be lost. Cry to God in the next 2 minutes. Ask him to show you mercy. In all the ways you have wasted spiritual resources, wasted investment, have been casual with the realities of God, has not tended to the things that the Holy Ghost has left in your spirit. Sometimes you say it's a feeling, it's a small feeling. I feel like I should pray for 1 week. You don't know that that is a reality that is born in your heart. You trivialize it. Sometimes you won't know that the next move of God is anchored on the engagement that you are doing. We have come to the realization that a lot of the things that God intends to do in these last days is dependent on what we are doing. We ask him for mercy to stay. We ask him for wisdom to steward. We have not even finished with introduction. If God permits, tomorrow I will show you the 7 pillars of stewardship. Stewardship has 7 pillars, and it is with those 7 indices that you measure how much you have been able to make progress. You are blessed in Jesus' name. You can cast your seed and offering. Tomorrow we meet again by 5 p.m.